Mute yourself.
How do I get it back? I'm sorry. It probably went off a mistake. I'm sorry.
This is when he said, "Hi, Mila."
No, no, do it close.
Wow.
Press the last thing. Maybe it's like it's your father who has to pay for it. Can we get it? First of all, a very special welcome back to everybody. It's been quite a while since this year has taken place in a live format, a little bit of a live, a little bit of a Zoom merging together tonight. So hopefully, Metz Hashem, we're embarking upon a whole new series of sugyos. We're going to try to do this year is really to learn a little bit of the sugyos on the Chavtes besides Kedushin, which are really a combination of sugyos in Lomdus and sugyos in Lach Lamaisa. And the underlying theme is going to be the mitzvahs of Av LaBein, mitzvah Ben La'av, some of the mutual responsibilities in terms of Mila, Pidgin HaBen, Talmud Torah on the one hand, then Kibud Av V'Aim and Mor Av V'Aim on the other hand, and then other sugyos that come up in passing, Kavod HaRav and Kavod Tamid Chacham, etc. So it's a really beautiful limud this next couple of blot. Hopefully, Metz Hashem will be able to gain a lot from it over the next few months.
We don't see you.
Can you see me now? They said they can't see me. So they'd rather see me, so I'll come to the next one. That's it. Okay, can you see me now? Now we're good? Okay. I guess I'll take that as a compliment that I was given. They'd rather see me than see the words of the Gemara. I don't know. I can't even begin to fathom that compliment. So we'll take it for whatever it's worth. So let's begin the sugya. The first of the sugyas of Chavtes is the obligation of bris milah. It happens to be worked out very nicely. It wasn't planned this way. Of course, this parsha is Lech Lecha. So the mitzvah of bris milah actually appears in this week's parsha as well. But the Gemara here is focusing on the first of the Ramakamos upon the obligation, particularly of a father to be mal his child. And the Gemara begins in the first of Mamakomas, Kedushin Dav Chavtes, Lemola Menolim. How do we know that a primary obligation of Bris Milah is the father to the son? Yesiva Yomal Avraham Esitzach Beno. It says in next week's parasha, actually, that Avraham performed the Bris on his son Yitzchak. That's just a historical statement. That's a Din L'Doros, that the first obligation rests upon the father. V'heichad L'Malei Avua L'Chai Beidina L'Memalei. How do you know that if the father doesn't take care of his obligations, that the obligation rests upon the Beis Din? Or Beis Din here means not just the court per se, but it really refers to all of Klal Yisrael. The Talmud Lama wants to get another pasuk. Himal lachem kol zachar. Torah says in this week's parasha that everyone has to make sure that everybody receives a bris. How do you know that if the Beis Din didn't do it was incumbent upon them? So when the person turns by mitzvah, they have to be mal themselves. The sivar zocher, etc. Pasuk also in the sixth parasha that each and every person for themselves. So really, it's clear for this Gemara that there are three different levels of obligation in terms of bris. The first obligation rests upon the father. Second, that's not done properly, rests upon the beis din, i.e., all of Klal Yisrael. And if that doesn't occur, then each person has their own obligation. So one can raise a very fundamental and basic question, literally about how bris milah plays out for us b'zman hazeh. Most of us, I would venture to say, myself included, are not trained mo'alim. And therefore, if we have sons, we generally do not do the bris ourselves. We ask a mo'al, we hire a mo'al to do it on our behalf. And the question is, how exactly does that work? What is the nature of that practice that we do today that a person, the ma'aseh, doesn't know how to do a bris? problem is fairly common in the days of Chazal. Also, the fathers didn't necessarily know how to do a bris. So how do we understand the nature of that halacha that I ask somebody, I hire somebody to do a bris on my behalf? So one can understand that in one of two ways. One can either understand that that is an extension of a principle called shlichos. Those who were at the Tuesday night show, we spoke a little bit about that in a different context last night, that there is a principle called shluchos from kemoso. So there are many mitzvahs that if for whatever reason I'm not going to do it myself, I can appoint a representative, I can appoint an agent to do it on my behalf. Shluchos from kemoso. Is that what's taking place in Bris Milah? And therefore, if that would be true, then I am fulfilling my obligation. It is as if I did it myself. The same way I can appoint the shaliach to be mekadesh nisha, I can be appoint the shaliach to separate true on my behalf, I can appoint the shaliach to offer a korban pesach on my behalf, I can appoint the shaliach to be given bris milah to my son on my behalf. So if that's what's happening, then I am being yaitzi in my mitzvah. That's one way of understanding it. Or, for some perhaps mysterious reason, maybe the sugya of shlichus doesn't apply to bris milah. We don't know why that should be so. But maybe that is the case. And if that is true, then the practice of handing over our bris to a moel is really a practice that we have no choice. It's onus. I would love to do the bris myself. I would love to fulfill my obligation, but I just simply don't know how to. And therefore, what am I going to do? So my child needs a bris, so somebody else is going to get the mitzvah. I'm not going to get the mitzvah. So if for whatever reason, which again, we're not familiar why that reason is, if for whatever reason shlichus doesn't apply to bris milah, then it'll turn out that the practice that we have really is not a very good practice. It's something that should be, I might say literally to change it, but it's something that it's almost like we have no choice, but it's clearly not something that is optimal. So how do we understand the nature of the chiyuv on the father playing out in the real world that lemaisa most of the time the father is not the one who's actually doing it? So there is a sugya that appears in the second Maaseh Mekomos. At first glance, it has nothing to do with bris milah, but we've learned many times that don't take everything in sugya is based on first glance. First, let's learn the sugya together that appears in Maseches Chulin, and then begin to try to extrapolate from that sugya to our sugya of bris milah. The Gemara on the second of the Maaseh Mekomos, the Maseches Chulin, Pei Zayin and Aleph, Tani Idach, v'shafach v'chisa, b'mesh shafach bo yichase, shlo yichasena b'regel, shlo yu mitzvah b'zuya salav. So the Gemara begins to talk about the mitzvah of kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is when a person shechts either a bird or a wild animal. It does not apply to a domesticated animal, but either a bird or a wild animal. They're obligated to cover the blood of that item that they just shechted. So the Gemara has a whole series of different drushes based on the phrase of v'shafach v'kisa. The Torah says the blood is spilled and then the blood is covered. So one drasha the Gemara tells us, an important drasha of halacha l'maisa, not relevant to our sugya, but very important in other areas of halacha. Shalecha said in Beregel, the Torah says that the part of your body that you use to shecht, i.e. your hands, that's the part of the body you should use to cover the blood. You shouldn't just kick the dirt onto the blood. It would be so much easier just to, much I bother bending down, getting my hands dirty, just kick with my shoe some dirt onto the blood. Says, no, you're not supposed to do that because shalo yu mitzvah b'ziyas halach. That's a degradation, that's an embarrassment, that's a bizayim to the mitzvah. It's more of a kavadik to do it with your hands. That's drasha number one. Drasha number two, time idach v'shav v'chisa. Misha shafach hu yichasenu. The person who did the shficha, who did the pouring of the blood, the person who did the shchita, he has first rights to do the kisi adam. And namely, nobody has a right to go and jump in and steal that mitzvah from him. So imagine, I just shechted a bird. I'm about to go pick up some dirt to go do kisi adam. Somebody else decides, it's time for me to grab a mitzvah. I'm going to steal your mitzvah. And they bowl me over and they go ahead and they take the dirt and they cover the blood. Mitzvah's done. There's nothing to rectify. Mitzvah's done. It's finished. There's nothing I can do anymore. So one time Reuven shechted and Shimon went ahead and didn't kiss Yadam without Reuven's permission. And Rav Gamliel made Shimon the Ghana, the Goslin, pay X amount of money as a fine, as a penalty for stealing somebody's mitzvah. So that's a din midrabban. Min haTorah, it's not really stealing. Min haTorah, it's not an object to steal. But midrabbanan, as a penalty, as a kenas. So the halacha says if you steal somebody's mitzvah, you have to pay X amount of money. So the Rush, in the third of the Maaseh Mekomos, makes reference to a story that actually happened in the realm of Bris Milah. So the third of the Maaseh Mekomos, So comes the Rosh, it's the third line in the Mar Mokom. So it's the end of the third line. Ma'isa be'echad, she'amal mo'el echad, she'yimol esbeno. Reuven asks Shimon to be a mo'el for him. Reuven has a baby boy, he doesn't know how to do bris. He asks Shimon to be the mo'el on his behalf. V'kadam acher u'mo'el. And then Levi jumps in, grabs a knife, and does the milah without permission. Now, obviously the child is mahul. There's nothing we could, we just, came back, okay, stop. Just came back. Back on. Stop for a second. So comes the Rosh and tells a story. Reuven appointed Shimon to be the Moel, and lo and behold, Levi steals the mitzvah. So now what? V'tava harishon she'amalu ha'avla molo min ha'sheini asar zehuvim. So the Moel, the original person who was designated to be the Moel, Shimon, wants to take Levi to a din Torah. Says, you stole my mitzvah. I was getting all ready. Forget about the fact I had to get up early in the morning, had to come to get my, bring my knife, bring my table, get everything ready. The only thing he got was he lost tachlin that day, but l'maisa, he lost the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So here he was zocha mitzvah. He had the opportunity to do a mitzvah, and Levi stole the mitzvah from him. So he wants to take Levi to a din Torah. So the Rosh says, no, you can't take the person with the interim. So skip down to the next line of the Rosh, it's the end of the fourth line. V'lachani ta'imei de Rabbein Atam. Rabbein Atam gave a series of reasons why the stealer of the mitzvah is not chayav. The Rosh says, I have another reason. Nearly lifter amoel. The yafa pisha abra ha'av lamoel echa lomos b'no lo zacha ba'osa mitzvah l'chayav acher im kodam v'asa'o. Comes the Rosh and says, when Reuven asked Shimon to do the bris, Shimon didn't acquire that mitzvah. It's not his mitzvah. It was Reuven's mitzvah. It wasn't Shimon's mitzvah. There's no such thing as acquiring the mitzvah mila. Somebody asks you to be a bris, to be a mo'el, it's very nice. It's not polite. It's not appropriate. It's not honest to change your mind. But in terms of halachically, Shimon wasn't koned that mitzvah. It's not like the person who stole somebody else's kisi adam. When I shecht an animal, I shecht a bird, I'm zoicha, I have the rights in the moment is to perform that mitzvah. You steal, you have to pay me for it. Here, Shimon didn't acquire anything, and therefore there's no kenas to be paid. So comes the shach, and as an observation, I don't put the shach, it's a long shach, comes the shach as the observation of this rush. Wait a second. Why doesn't the stealer, Levi, the robber, Levi, not have to pay Shimon, let him have to pay Reuven? Because after all, he stole Reuven's mitzvah. Reuven appointed Shimon to be his moel, to be a shaliach, and it turns out that's not what happened. So Levi should have a din Torah. He should have to pay against Reuven. He's not paying Shimon. He should have to pay Reuven. How come Levi doesn't have to pay the father? Says the shach, the reason is because the minute that the father hands off the meal to anybody else, the father's out of the picture. There's no shlichos for meal. At kan divrei hashach bedas the rosh. The shach is medayik from this rush that when you appoint somebody as your quote unquote shaliach to do a bris for you, it's garnished, it's meaningless, it's not toe faced, it doesn't count for shlichus, and therefore, anyway, the father's not getting any schar here. The father's already given up on all his rights in the mitzvah bris. Not everybody agrees to this rush, not everyone agrees to the shach's diuk in the rush, but this sets the stage for our question. So, this shaila, is there shlichus for milo or not? According to the shach, it's an explicit rush. If you take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos, the Dake Moshe, written by the Ramon, his comments on the tour, Kosabi Arzarua, Imaav Mohel, also Lite Lamol Acher. The Arzarua writes that if you personally are a Mohel, you know how to do a Bismillah, under no circumstances can you hand the bris over to somebody else. You're going to blow it. You're going to lose your opportunity to perform your mitzvah. Says the Ramon, this Arzarua, Vitzarchion, Maishno Mitzvah Cheres, asks the Ramah, what's the difference between this mitzvah and the mitzvah of getting married and the mitzvah of being mafresh truman, the mitzvah of shechdik on Pesach, shlucho shel adam kevoso, manishtana mila from other mitzvahs of the Torah. So we don't yet know the answer to that question. We have to try to figure out what the potential answer to that question is. So we have documented now, there is definitely a question going on. There is definitely a machlokes going on here. The Rosh is making a statement. The Shach is medayik in the statement. Or as a rules make a statement. The Ramah's arguing with the statement. What do we think the din should be? Should there be shlichus for milah or not? What would we say, Miss Svara? So the chora, we have to ask ourselves the following question. which mitzvahs do we find shlichus for, and which mitzvahs do we not find shlichus for? So l'mashon, gave a few examples before. I can appoint a shliach to be mekadesh an isha for me. I can appoint a shliach to be mafresh truma for me. What I can't do is, you know, I'm a little tired tonight. I don't feel like getting up tomorrow morning to daven shacharis. I'll pay you a few dollars. Do me a favor. Get up tomorrow morning. Put on tefillin. You'll be my shliach to put on tefillin. Or, you know, this Pesach night, I'm not too interested in eating matzah. I'll pay you a few dollars. You eat the matzah, my dear. So we intuitively realize that that's absurd. That's absolutely ridiculous. Why doesn't that work? So it's interesting. The Gemara never addresses the question. It's so obvious. The Gemara never talks about it. The Rishonim talk about it. And the Rishonim coined the phrase called mitzvah shebegufo. Mitzvahs that affect a person's body are not nitan to shlichus. Just the whole parish of shlichus doesn't make any sense on mitzvahs shebegufo. You can be mekadesh nisha de shlich. You can be megarish nisha de shlich. You can sell a field de shlich. Separate truma de shlich. But you, under no circumstances, can you have a shliach put on tefillin for you, mass for you, shake a little for you, etc. So that principle called mitzvah shebegufo now requires of us to understand: is mila called a mitzvah shebegufo? Now, does mila meet the criteria of mitzvah shebegufo? So we have to fine tune what a mitzvah shebegufo means. Why is it conceptually wrong? We all sense that it's wrong. I can't appoint a shliach to put on tefillin. Why not? What's wrong with it? So there is a machlokas that appears at the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kedushin. The Tosfos Rid, one of the Rishonim, Tosfos Rid writes that he thinks the reason why you can't have shlichus on a mitzvah shebegufo is that shlichus only makes sense when there's something that relates back to the mishaleach. Let's say, for example, if I appoint you as a shlich to mekadesh an isha for me, the woman becomes my wife. Or if Reuven appoints a shlich to megarish an isha for him, so the woman is no longer his wife. So there's a change vis-a-vis the mishaleach. The concept of shlichus doesn't make sense when there's nothing that mishaleach can hold on to. Let's say, for example, the case of truma. If Reuven appoints Shimon as a shliach to separate truma on his behalf, so now Reuven's fruit has been salvaged, has been permissible, is now no longer tevel. So whenever Reuven has something in his pocket that he gained from the shlichus, there's a change from the shlichus, that's called shlichus. Tefillin, if I appoint you to be my shliach, but on tefillin, what do I get? There's nothing that happens to me. I'm still sleeping. You're putting on tefillin. How in the world does that mitzvah relate back to me? That's what the Tosfos Rid suggests as the reason why there's no shlichus on a mitzvah shebegufo. If that's the case, then maybe one can argue that mila is in fact a mitzvah shebegufo. That mila is also something that there's nothing really that the father has to speak of. He doesn't have a new wife. He doesn't have fruit that's permissible. He didn't lose a wife. He doesn't have a current Pesach. He has a son who has a mila. Does that relate back to the father? Is that something that speaks to the father himself as an individual? It's a halachic hashkafic question. One could argue that maybe mila falls into the category of mitzvah shebegufo. Maybe that's the reason why there's no shlichus for mila. If that's the case, could one argue with the theory of the Tosfos Rid? So the Ktzos disagrees with the Tosfos Rid. The Ktzos quotes the Tosfos Rid and says there's a different reason why there's no shlichus for mitzvah shebegufo. Shlichus works on meisim. Shlichus doesn't work to change one's body. My body is my body, and your body is your body. The shlich doesn't become kemoso, literally. Says the Ktzos, the mitzvah of tefillin is not a mitzvah to do a maisa nochas tefillin. The mitzvah is to have tefillin on my guf. If you tie tefillin onto my body, I'm here to the mitzvah. I don't have to do a maisa nochas tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin is that the tefillin have to be connected to my guf. Your guf, shlich, is not my guf. According to the Ktzos, that the deficiency, the problem, the obstacle of shlichus by mitzvah shebegufo has nothing to do with whether it relates or doesn't relate back to me. It has to do with, is it a mitzvah that speaks to the human body? The mitzvah of mila and my son doesn't speak to my body. So why is that mitzvah shebegufo? That's what the Ramah said. Man ishtara this mitzvah from all the mitzvah of the Torah. So of course there's shlichus for a mila. So in all the dust settles, we're not sure the answer to this question. Is there shlichus for mila or not? Now we know that practically speaking, I don't know how to do a bris mila. So I have no choice. So I have to hire a moil. According to some Rishonim, I'm actually being yotze by chiyuv ayyidei shlichus, so Rishonim kemoso. According to other Rishonim, I'm not being yotze by chiyuv. I lost the chiyuv. I lost the opportunity to do this mitzvah. What can I do? Honest Rechman Apatre, but the kid still needs a bris. I have to debuch, get this kid to get a bris, but the chovas av is not going to be fulfilled. My nafkamin ladin, at the end of the day, if I'm a mole and I know how to do it, I should do it. If I don't know how to do it, I'm not going to do it. Now, for me, sometimes you have a situation where the person knows how to do it. He's a mile, you know. He wants to mechabed somebody else. He wants to give it to mechabed the grandfather to be the mile. Mechabed the great Rav to be the mile. The father knows how to do it himself. So according to many poskim, that's a bitul mitzvah asay bina Torah. You are mechuyim bina Torah to do the need yourself. You're not going to accomplish anything like day shlichus. You better do it yourself. According to the other poskim, technically it's not a bitul mitzvah, but it's also not right. Because we have a klal called mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho. In general, mitzvahs, you're not supposed to delegate mitzvahs to other people. In life, we tend to delegate the things that we don't like to do. So you're supposed to treat mitzvahs as choshev to you, not supposed to delegate them to others.
Can this mitzvah be viewed differently because it's not kibbutz kagufo, but it's a tikkun on the tool? Unlike all mitzvahs that's kagufo, this is mitaking something that has to be sort of like correct,
right, that's correct, but the problem is it's the different goof. That means mitzvah goof always speaks to my goof. This is talking to the child's goof. So that's why it's harder to call this an after mitzvah goof. You go down the root of the Tosfos Rid, then maybe we can kind of question and label as mitzvah goof. We go into the Tosfos realm, mitzvah goof means my left arm is not your left arm, so then it's the same baby, but I'm doing the bris and somebody else is doing the bris.
Why is that Zachman HaPatri an excuse? Why should I go see if you learn how to do a bris meal?
100%. Call it a vote. If you and your wife will approve of you doing it, then I'm all for it.
Wouldn't
the
bracha also be an after
meal? Okay, very good. Excellent. We're getting somebody to lead into that's probably gonna take us, but I think I lost my comments. I don't know your send me your code. Last time of them. Very good. So I always get a little bit nervous when I quote the sugi about mitzvah shibagufo, about when I quote the Tosfos Rid and the Ketos.
We said abuse it to Ksav,
then
it doesn't matter.
Oh, a whole nother means who cares? It doesn't matter what I do. As long as at the end of the day, the baby ends up with the bris. This is going to be the next. But next week, we're going to have the double computer screen. Can we realize the tikkun here? Too many things happening at the same time. Okay, hopefully that's amazing. So that's also a loaded question. So gotta keep on coming back to Shiram to see a little bit more about Mila, whether that's correct or not. Whenever I make reference to this machlokes that was written in the Ketos, I start to shake a little bit because it brings back a little bit of an unpleasant memory. It goes back, and Bachshem, the end of the story had a great, wonderful story, but it was a little shaky at the very beginning. It goes back to my first trip to California before I was even technically engaged. We were going out, and I had to really go out to the West Coast to meet my family to be. And just about to get engaged, and I was spending Shabbos as a quote-unquote friend of one of my wife's brothers at the time. That was the excuse. So I was in town, and as you know, my father-in-law. So at the time, he wasn't yet my father-in-law, but he hasn't changed much, and he maybe still on the call, so I'm not sure. But, so he put me up to see a shiur, pretty much on the spot, that first Shabbos when I was there, not telling anyone who I was, or just some friend of his son's who was happened to be around town, and he put me up to give a shiur. So somehow I ended up talking about Shlichas HaMitzvah Shibagufo. I don't know how that ended up to be part of the topic, but I was talking about it, and I said exactly what I said now. I said it's a machlokes that Tosfos Rid tells about whether what exactly the deficiency of Shlichas HaMitzvah Shibagufo is. Now, Avdo Min Rosh Hashiva at the time was visiting from Israel, an older Rosh Hashiva was visiting and happened to be my luck was listening into the Shiur, and my added bad luck was that he understood English, and he started to talk up in the middle of the Shiur. And he said, no, he said, it's not a machlokes Tosfos and the Ketos. Can't be. Tosfos Rid is a Rishon and the Ketos is an Acharon, and there can't be a machlokes between the two of them. So, you know, here I was trying to make a good impression to get married. And, you know, in older Rosh Hashiva, senior Rosh Hashiva is telling me that there can't be a machlokes between the Ketos and the Tosfos Rid. So I try to say in a very respectful way, yeah, you call it whatever you want to call it, but the Tosfos Rid says one thing, and the Ketos says what Tosfos Rid said is wrong, and he's going to give you a different reason. So I mean, I'm not sure what that is. It's not a machlokes. So it's a machlokes. So it's really exists, whether you like it or not. From Isis, the machlokes does really exist. Anyway, so I kind of fudged over that. But the next morning, so I got a call from a friend of mine, Eric Tishraw, who said to me, he heard there was a lot of excitement at the Shiur in LA last night that I disagreed with the Rashid from Bnei Brak about whether there's a machlokes. See, and now it wouldn't take till the next morning for that to happen. It would be, you know, 1 second later. Then you had to wait for a phone call, actually, you know, until Shabbos was over to your phone. Then now it would be, you know, 1 second later. Anyway, so bottom line is, whatever you want to call it, you name it, but it does say one thing, it does say something else. So, halacha, how do we pass it? It's hard to know because most of the time, it doesn't make much of a difference for us. Most of the time, again, most of us don't know how to do brisim, and the ma'alim do brisim on their own children, but it would be enough to be in Medina if you have a ma'alim who knows how to do it and yet wants to be mechabit somebody else. But this issue that we're raising, that why should it not be shlichus, is based on the idea of mitzvah gufo. Maybe we can go down a little bit of a different route. Maybe there's a little bit of a different approach. So perhaps as a throwback to the very first, the first Rebbeinu Kamos from tonight, we mentioned there are different degrees, different diagrams of obligation for brismila. The chiyuv starts with the father, then to the beis din / klai yisrael, and then ultimately rests upon the individual. One could raise the following question. Maybe the idea of shlichus means when this mitzvah doesn't speak to you, I ask you to be to separate truma on my behalf. It's not your truma. You're no shaykh to this truma. Or I ask you to be kaddish and isha. You don't want to marry this woman. So this mitzvah per se has no shaykh to you. Then and only then, when you do it, it's mesiach is back to me. It comes back to me. It shoots back to me as the mishalim. But what if I appoint you to do the mitzvah on my behalf? I appoint you to do something on my behalf. And this mitzvah is your mitzvah also. This mitzvah speaks to you. And you grab onto the mitzvah. And the mitzvah registers as your credit, so to speak. Maybe one could argue there's no shlichus under those circumstances. Shlichus only means when the shlich is acting neutral as an agent of the shalach. So some kemaisa. But if the shlich has his own, so to speak, vested interest in the mitzvah, so the mitzvah registers on his name, and it doesn't have the koch, doesn't have the ability to relate back to the shalach. If that's the case, maybe that's what's going on in Bispina. There's a chiyuv on a father, but there is also a chiyuv on the beis din. Beis din doesn't just mean three rabbis sitting in court. Beis din means Klal Yisrael. When I ask the Moyel to be my quote-unquote shliach, the Moyel in effect says, without saying it, the Moyel says, I'm going to do this bris. It's my chiyuv to do the bris. I'm Beis din. I'm Klal Yisrael. So once this mitzvah registers as the Moyel's mitzvah, there's no way for it to go back and shoot back to the Mishalech, back to the father. So maybe we're going down the wrong path. The reason why there's no shlichus for me, if that's true, nothing to do with mitzvah goof, but has to do with the unique secondary level of obligation. If that's the case, so then why is it that others disagree? Isn't that such a pashut svara? So lechora, why don't you raise the following question? We're all the way back to the first of the Mamakamas. When the Gemara starts off by telling us that the chiyah first is on the father and then on the beis din, what does the then mean? We can understand that in one of two ways. Either we can understand a baby boy is born, the eighth day comes, there are immediately multiple chiyuvim that are chal. The father has his chiyuv, beis din has his chiyuv, the child that returns by mitzvah will get their chiyuv, or the chiyuvim are all chal of asachas. There's a hierarchy in chiyuvim. The father is supposed to come before the beis din, but the beis din is chayiv. Every Jew is chayiv. There's a baby born, I'm supposed to come to a bris tomorrow morning, so I'm chayiv in that bris tomorrow morning. Same as you are, so everybody's chayiv. The father has an added dimension, but every one of Klai's is chayiv in that bris tomorrow. Is that pshat or no? The pshat is, Beis Din's chiyuv kicks in if and when the father doesn't do what he's supposed to do. It means there's only one chiyuv chav. Baby's born, the father's chayv emila. Hechad the lo mali avua. If the father's not interested, the father's not around, not alive, not Jewish, a million reasons why the father's not doing it, then Beis Din kicks in. So now makes all the difference in the world. If you hold the lumdis that there's an independent chiyuv on Beis Din from day one, from day eight, the Beis Din is chayav, then I understand why when the mole does it, he's doing it for his own obligation, and his obligation, his mitzvah can't kick back to the Mishalech, can't kick back to the father. But if you hold that the mole doesn't have a chiyuv yet, because the father's plotting to do it, the father wants it to get done. The father's not walking away, the father is asking somebody to do it on his behalf, so the mole wasn't chayav. The mole wasn't chayav yet, so then, Mamela can go back to the father. So it could be the machlekes that we shown him is the shlichus for bris milah is not a question of what you think about mitzvah shebagufo. It has to do with what you think about the relationship between the father's chiyuv and the beis din's chiyuv. Is father and beis din both chayiv simultaneously, but is the chiyuv and the beis din only begin after the father is no longer around, no longer interested in doing his mitzvah? So what's the answer to this question? So this is already quoted by a Magid Avram. So the fifth in Ramakamos, let's see which one will be easier to. Not sure which is easier for me to see here. Okay, the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham discusses the following question. The Magen Avraham, Hilchos B'dikas Chametz, on the fifth of the Ramakamos, But Rav Avraham is talking about the following. I own a house. I'm not interested in them. I'm busy now. I'm going away. I'm not going to do B'dikas Chametz. I hire you. I ask you to be my shaliach to do B'dikas Chametz on my behalf. So Rav Avraham raised the question, who's going to make the bracha? You are going to make the bracha. Asher kiddushon mitzvayis v'tzvon. It's not your mitzvah. I'm going to make the bracha. I'm already on my cruise. I'm nowhere near the house. How am I going to make the bracha? I'm not doing the b'dikas mitzvah. Who's going to make the bracha? So the Bagan Avram says, it's near Lalaimar that the Bodek can recite the bracha. So the Bagan Avram says, on the fifth of the Ramakamos, in the second line, V'tzachiyun, Hechivon, in a mitzvah, tell us a love, Livdok, he doesn't have the mitzvah. So the Bagan Avram skips down a little bit, and he says, V'tzorech Lomar, the second line from the bottom, V'mikomach a mitzvah ka'avid, Dumya de Mila, Shem mitzvah alavi abein, V'mikomacham, V'machem alaso, Achem avarach. Comes the Magen Avraham brings the following fascinating line. He says, we have a precedent in halacha that somebody else can recite the bracha even though they're not fulfilling the mitzvah. You know what the precedent is? The precedent is milah. Every bris. It's here. We're going to bris tomorrow morning. I don't think the father is going to do the bris. The mole is going to do the bris. The mole is going to make a bracha. It's not the mole's mitzvah. How's he making a bracha? You see from here that you can make a bracha on somebody else's mitzvah. As long as you're doing the ma'isi, you can make a bracha. Asks the Yehuda on this Magen Avraham, what's the right from Brisbane? In the case of the Moel, the Moel is being doing a mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah of Torah's base, and it's his mitzvah also. What did the Magen Avraham clearly hold? No, it's not. It's not the Moel's mitzvah. The Moel's mitzvah only starts when the father is delinquent. When the father wants to participate in the bris, the father wants there to be a bris, he's paying for a bris. So it's the father's mitzvah, not the Moel's mitzvah. And you still see that you can make a mitzvah, a bracha on somebody else's mitzvah. So when all the dust settles, our original question still stands. It started off with the Gemara. Gemara tells us, father first, Beis the next, then child next. We raise the Shaila, Lamaisa, that's not what's happening. In our world, the father's not doing it. The mother's doing it. So we raise the Chakir. What's the nature of our practice? Is the nature of our practice Shluch Zab Kibbozo? Or is the nature of our practice, we have no choice. We have no way, we don't know how to do it ourselves. But in the Chinam, the father tackles us. So we wanted to bring a riot from the Rosh. We brought a machlekes between the Arzaruah and the Dekibayisha, that is very Shaiva. And then we have two possible Biyurim and what they're arguing about. They're arguing about the point, the contention is this called the Mitzvah Shavagufo or not? However, what you think the definition of Mitzvah Shavagufo is. But the second possibility is this related more to, is there an independent Chiyav on the Basin, or the Basin slash Mal slash Klaus or Chiyav only kicks in after the fall of the lower part of the picture? Lamaisa, again, for most of us, it doesn't make a difference, but every once in a while, it's chaps and afkamilandina if the father really truly knows how to do it. I remember the bris of my oldest son, so Rabbi Katzstein, the father who passed away, Edwin Katzstein. So he was the mom. So as we're just about getting ready to do the bris, so I turned to him and I said, I just want you to appoint you to be my shaliach. So he turns around and says, Rabbi Solovsky, you don't think I know that I'm your shaliach? He said, he didn't want to tell me at that point how many brisim he's done. I used to joke with the cats and the father and sons. My joke always was, when was the last time they said tachanun? Probably about 40 years ago, it was the last time either of them ever said tachanun. So the bottom line is, whether was a former shaliach or not, some do have the practice of quote-unquote appointing as a shaliach, and others just follow what it says in the article, sit or whatever it is. You do appoint, another point, it's understood, it's appointing, and it could be it's not appointing anyway, it's not anyway. So, achareik klesakol, the bris takes place. If the father knows how to do it, matay. If the father doesn't know how to do it, shlichta. And if the male does it, whether the male is the shlich or not. So I end this entire sugya to try to see how all the pieces of the puzzle work out. Okay.
Could you argue with your brother and ask him to do something for my father that there's no way I can ever turn into a shlich because that's a kibud avayim at the same time?
Right, according to the svara, that he wouldn't be your shlich.